Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, where we talk about the funny, we talk about the serious, and this pretty much sums up the Jericho portion of Raw, according to Jason Block.
We will get to that later, but on a seriously, why don't you just introduce the panel, then we'll get to some serious stuff first.
First of all, ladies and gentlemen, from the Eastern Bracket, VRM.
I think we should revoke Pitt's number one seed after that near failure from today.
Our Southern seed, Carl Chenier.
Yo.
Our Midwestern seed, Fourth.
Yeah, if I were any of Randy Orton's friends, I would kind of hide in the fallout shelter for the next couple of weeks.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the Gus Johnson of the North American Wrestling Connection, Jason Block.
Amateur bracketologist, professional mixologist, wannabe gynecologist.
That last part earns a win.
Thank you. But on a
more of those jokes can be had at the Block Party Podcast at www.blockstarsisrigged.
And my thoughts on the America's Got Talent tapings, which I saw in New York and are going on as we speak. So, on a serious note, though, after we got off the air last Friday, the news broke that Andrew Martin, a.k.a. Test, passed away at the age of 33.
I thought it was 34.
He was 33, I believe.
Oh.
His birthday was Tuesday.
So he was 33 years old. The story goes, a neighbor looked in his window and saw him lying motionless on the floor. They called emergency services. They went in, tried to revive him, and I believe he was pronounced dead at the hospital. I don't know which. And you can understand why it was not acknowledged on Raw Monday night. You can understand that, right, guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because not all the facts came in.
And after the, Monday night, a report in the Tampa, one of the Tampa news say allegedly there were painkillers and steroids in there.
We are still awaiting a toxicology report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, yeah. It's one of those sad deals of a wrestler dying way, way, way too young.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with his size and, you know, again, it brings back, it goes full circle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To a point.
It's kind of sad, actually. However, somehow ironic.
How ironic?
The reason it being, wasn't his nickname Test kind of a jab at the steroid tests?
No. His first gig at the WWE, remember he was the bodyguard for Motley Crue. And he kept yelling, "Test, test, test," into the microphones. Hence his name. Okay.
Close.
No, not very. But the deal is this. The more interesting news of that was that Jim Ross wrote a blog stating that he had gone through a WWE paid for rehab program as late as August of 2008.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, the WWE, through all, you know, you don't hear this enough, they have helped a lot of wrestlers who are not working for the company through rehab. They have paid, if you remember correctly. They've done
that. How?
Yes.
Somebody, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, he succumbed to his demons too soon. I'm guessing this is going to be an Eddie Guerrero sort of thing, where either, you know, where his heart gave out after being clean, or, unfortunately, as the case may be, he was back on the juice and was taking drugs, which is a more sadder case, if that were true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, guys, you know, what are your thoughts specifically?
To be honest, everybody kind of knew Test was a known user.
Uh-huh.
And he did fail a few drug tests, correct?
Oh, he failed a ton of them.
A good bit of them. One of the last ones he failed, that's why he was gone from the company for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
One of those wellness violations?
Yeah.
When was that, like, in late 07, early 08, something like that?
Early 07.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know?
You remember he was in the ECW part on the ECW brand?
Yes.
Getting pushed.
Well, you know, Vince's obsession with big men, but...
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But, you know, again...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Robert.
One of the sad things about this, about Andrew Test Martin, is I heard he was well liked among all the wrestlers. He was a really chill, relaxed guy. Then, I guess once he got released for the first time, like in 2003, is that when he started to take a nosedive and started to really get heavily involved in a whole bunch of shit he shouldn't have been doing?
I don't know exactly either way, but I do know this. He was taking some shots at the WWE on his own personal blog. I believe he took a major shot at the WWE, I believe, right after the Benoit incident, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure. But I know, look, it doesn't matter if he did or not. It doesn't matter what he did. He's dead. And we just have to say, again, this is another one of those. I thought we were done with these sort of cautionary tales. Didn't you think?
As long as there are stupid people who are willing to doing stupid things, we're not going to end all of the stupidity.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but even with WWE cracking down on it, obviously a lot of the people are still going to be from the previous era. In terms of the drug use, they're probably going to end up dying. That really, if they start, we won't really see the full effects for another 10, 15 years.
So you're saying that this generation is the last generation that's going to be heavily into drugs, or you're not sure?
I'm not 100% sure, but I would hope, I really hope so.
Oh, we all hope so. I mean, look, I don't want to see another Jeff Hardy suspension, okay? I don't want to see any other wrestlers dying young. It saddens me. It really does, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, put it to you this way. You don't want to see these guys pass on. But if they're going to be that idiotic and do this sort of stuff, you know? What do you, you know, good grief. You know, it's just sad. It's just really sad. But it's actually also disappointing especially when you have the movie The Wrestler out. I mean, not to say that The Wrestler is real life. You know what I mean?
Why does he look like a member of the Insane Clown Posse?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He
well,
has a sad but true fact.
Yeah.
Sad but true, but if you remember, Owen died at 33. Am I correct?
Yeah, but his was purely accidental.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, Tess died at the same age as Owen.
Yeah, but again,
different circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we're talking about circumstances. The
circumstances.
I mean, put it to you this way. It's again, are we really shocked anymore at something like this? No.
No.
Not really.
I don't think we're really maybe saying, oh, that person, but otherwise it doesn't just hit like a load of bricks. It's just like, oh. Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. It's a different feel. Because unfortunately we're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean to, because I don't like his journalistic style, but Phil Mushnick had this done, was light years ahead of this issue. Years and years and years before stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Are we talking about like early steroid trial stuff like 92?
No, we're talking like Art Barr, even before then.
Mm-hmm.
Art Barr, that was 94.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's good.
It's really sad, and
yeah.
Unfortunately, like I said before, if there's stupid people doing stupid stuff, then the stupid incident's going to keep on happening.
Now, I'll tell you what, look who we've lost in the last 10 years alone, guys.
I think we're getting near the 100 mark.
Yeah.
And a good chunk
bad.
Of that's just on drug use.
Yeah, but that's all I really care about, though. Heart attack and drug-related heart attacks. With all due respect, I mean, not that I don't care about the accidents, but I'm talking specifically about the drug use.
Yeah.
Okay. Drug use. You do not need drug use is an easy way out of the pain. You know that, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, look. Chris Benoit was on painkillers for years before stuff went down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is a symptom of just people not being smart. So I mean, look at the wrestling actor who sold steroids to Mickey Rourke in the movie. What did he get arrested for? Selling steroids in real life. Okay?
Life imitates art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think now it's time to move on. We've had a bit of time on that.
Exactly. And seriously, condolences to his family and friends and all that sort of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
And now we get from really sad tragedy to, well, we're still at really sad tragedy with TNA Destination X-Lax.
Oh, okay, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad when the most interesting thing happening on that pay-per-view was a Botchamania sign up that getting more airtime than the Steiner Joe match.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Steiner Joe didn't even have 5 minutes.
That had botch written all over it.
That, the Botchamania, Matthew showed that in a video. That and his Forrest Whitaker watches Botchamania 70 both made me laugh fairly, fairly long for a long time.
You should
time.
Look at his latest video.
I will.
Botchman.
Botchman, yeah.
Yeah, however, it makes me kind of upset that he didn't go the Mega Man 2 style of that.
It was still good.
Yeah, Mega Man 9. I really got to get a Wii and pick up that game. Anyways, quickly, Destination X, six knockout tag match, Beautiful People and Madison Rain, who is, if I'm getting this right, she is a new protege or protege for
pledge.
A pledge for was it? My Pie Sexy. Anyways, they lose. The faces win. Josh Typho and Forth got that one wrong. Then we have Morgan versus Abyss.
And by the way, the governor, a.k.a. Daphne, has signed a new long-term deal with TNA. Yippee.
Yep.
Let's just hope at some point she drops this character, because it's really stupid.
Oh, God.
Mm.
If this was happening during the election time, it'd be like, oh, cool. But now it's just like, oh, God.
It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Morgan versus Abyss, 10,000 thumbtack match. Josh, Jason, Nikki, VRM, and Carl both get a back full of thumbtacks, whereas me, Typho, and Fort wind up with the win.
Mm-hmm.
Who won that match?
Morgan did.
Okay.
Oh, Morgan.
And then we get to the knockout match. VRM, would you like to explain your pick of Sojo Bolt?
One word. Guinness.
March.
That's a good one. I like that one. That's because Amazing Kong won. Then we got the Steiner Joe, which gets a big round of.
Whoa! Steiner won that match?
By DQ.
Oh,
boy.
DQ.
In 10 seconds.
And that was the epic fail of the evening for that pay per view.
I wish I had uploaded your sound, Carl. You're gonna have to send
think
to me.
You wanted to.
Epic fail.
I'm kind of embarrassed now, but whatever.
Boy, am I glad I missed this one.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Be glad.
Yeah. Legends match: Styles versus Booker.
Houston four, God, Grand Slam.
What?
AJ Styles, first Grand Slam champion in TNA history.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
DRM four, Carl and myself picked that one right.
Uh huh.
Mhm.
Okay, tag title match. This was so convoluted. First of all, we had Beer Money winning by disqualification.
Oh,
Cornette then comes out and makes it an ODQ match. And immediately after, Don West waves the guys over to the announce table, says, here, take the belt and go.
You talk about the worst heel run ever. That was it.
No, that title's still going to David Arquette.
Ironically enough, Vince Russo was involved with both.
Yeah. Excuse me. Are we shocked at this? I'm shocked. There's gambling in this establishment. You're winning for sure. I mean, please.
Casablanca
for those who know or care.
Of course.
But yeah, dumb.
Because of all the shit that went down, 1 point to each. Everybody gets 1 point.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Where Nikki and I already had a point to begin with.
Nikki also had a point to begin with, too.
I said
yeah.
that.
And I had a point to begin with, too.
You.
Yes, because you were the I don't give a fuck.
Speaking of I don't give a fuck, there's Christopher Daniels inside the suicide costume winning the X Division title, and everybody got that one right, except for Josh Henniger.
By the way, I heard everybody. I heard the match was just nuts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was.
It was clearly match of the night.
Yeah.
Then we had the world title match.
I think
my
friend went to sleep during that time.
I told you, I still believed in Sting. And guess who still got the title?
Yeah, but you're right about Foley. Even though it looked accidental,
wasn't accidental last night on Impact.
Right. That's the one that set it up for upcoming.
By the way, Steph got that one too, but it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Final scores: Josh got dead last with 3. Jason, Nikki, Typhoon, VRM all batted 500.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and Carl got 5. But your winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight champion, Robert Q. Seidelman.
Don't worry. The belt will be coming back to me in 2 weeks at WrestleMania. So,
Robert Q. Seidelman, you little bastards.
Speaking of WrestleMania, we had Raw and. All right, we got the soapbox all dusted off for you, Jason.
Okay.
Hold it.
All,
it's been
yeah,
about 2 months since we last used this thing, so if there's termites.
Yeah, well, actually, could you seriously turn the music down? Because it really needs to be a serious thing. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
All right, 2 months ago, this all started at the SAG Awards, where Mickey Rourke called out Chris Jericho. And we all, as wrestling fans, thought it was going to be a wrestling cross-promotional wet dream. Seriously. We thought it was going to be Mickey Rourke as Randy the Ram Robinson, or at least as Mickey Rourke, going to wrestle Chris Jericho in a one-on-one match. But then the powers that, you know, he went on CNN and there was a nice cross-promotional thing there. And we all thought it was going to be that way, and we all wanted it to be that way, right? Then the agents sort of put the kibosh on it, and then Vince McMahon, I'm just sort of setting this up here, and then Vince McMahon said that he was going to appear at WrestleMania in some sort of special capacity, right? I believe that's how the timeline went. But then Chris Jericho started to attack certain legends, like Roddy Piper, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, who I've actually worked with. As an independent wrestler, you know, as an announcer for the independent gigs. So, and then, you know, we were going, well, now where is this going to lead to? Is it going to be Jericho Austin? Is it going to be Jericho Hogan? Then we found out that, you know, I don't know if Austin could work. We don't know if, you know, Hogan had a back injury. So it all led to this Monday night. Jericho calls out Ric Flair to come out of retirement, actually last week, to fight him in a street fight. Thank God Ric Flair didn't do it, because Ric Flair decides to bring out 3 people who are going to fight him: Snuka, Steamboat, and Piper. So then they surround the ring this Monday and then punch Jericho out. Ric Flair does it the ringside. So then Jericho challenges the 3 guys: Snuka, Steamboat, and Piper, to a match at WrestleMania with Mickey Rourke at the front row and Ric Flair at ringside. Now, I have one sound effect that kind of just says this all. Mr. Solomon, if you would, please.
Whoa!
Thank you. This is something that is going to make me not watch WrestleMania. I don't care how many Extreme Rules matches you have versus Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. I don't care if you have Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. This is the worst booking. You think Piper can go? Hell no. You think Snuka can go? Hell no. Do you think Steamboat can go? No. This is dumb with a capital D. And you are not getting my $55, Mr. McMahon. I'm not watching, and I know a lot of people are not because of it. You think you're going to get your 800,000 buys? Bullshit. $54.95 with $64.95 for 8 effing D? Not for this stuff. No way.
You'll be lucky to get the 3/4 mil.
Okay, Robert, what do you think? Seriously.
Well, it was either going to be Jericho versus Rourke, but since he put the kibosh on that, I figured it was going to be somebody who was going into the Hall of Fame. You know in my heart, all of you know that I really wanted either Terry Funk or Jake Roberts because, you know, they've given him a great ace lacking. With these three, Piper, you know, he can go like 5 minutes and that's about it now. Last time he went like 20 minutes, I think he was sucking out all the oxygen out of the MGM Grand at Halloween Havoc 97. Then we have Jimmy Snuka, who, as old as he is, I think he's, what, pushing 70 now?
That's true.
Last time I seen him wrestle a decent match, I have to go back to, like, 91. WrestleMania 7 against The Undertaker. And Ricky Steamboat, he's been out of the game for 15 years. And he hasn't looked back. Well, now he is looking back, but that's beside the point.
Go ahead.
Well, you're right, Jason. However, I wasn't going to order WrestleMania to begin with, mainly because I don't feel like we can't spend $55
right
on a pay-per-view. If I was going to spend $55 on pay-per-views, you know who would be getting my money?
UFC 100.
No. Because I don't watch UFC. I'll catch some of the shows on Spike, but I won't order a UFC pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to Ring of Honor. And they're going to TNA. Because how not to book a legend match? It's WWE. But how to book a legend match, and what I'm surprised by, is what TNA is doing with Sting and Foley. That is how you book a legends match. What they're doing right now, if you've seen that promo that Sting and Foley cut the last 10 minutes or so on Impact.
No, I did not see that.
Ooh, you missed.
Okay. So, VRM, Carl, what's your thoughts?
Like I said, Vince will be lucky if he gets his $750,000. I wasn't going to buy to begin with because I.
Right, exactly. There were only about three matches on the card that interest me.
No, but I'm saying that I not exactly want to talk about it. You know where I'm getting at?
I'm with you. Gotcha.
But yeah, even if I didn't, it's still I'm not interested in like half of these matches. The only match I'm interested in so far are the Hardy match and the Undertaker HBK match. And after the promo tonight, the winner of the triple threat match quote unquote gets Vicky's heart is like, does Cena even want it?
No, I go, yeah, what's third as I told Tyler Manero, what's third prize? Vicky's behind? You know? I mean, Robert,
and
if I may.
The gas that comes out.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Robert, do you mind if we just run down the WrestleMania card as we speak to see if this is worthy of a buy?
Yeah. We could do that right now. Nikki is still not here yet. She's we forgot to mention that outright. Nikki Heyman worked an independent show. Not necessarily.
You want to know, why don't we wait to run down? Should we run down the card when she's around? I think that would
be.
Okay, we'll do that.
Let's wait. Probably be Archive or something around that time. Would make Archive even more fun.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
But actually,
how about we get some fun?
Okay.
Wait, before we get
let's
to
talk
fun,
about the creative team and just desserts.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. But someone else wanted to say something.
I don't think it'll be a great match, to be honest. I think it's just going to be a glorified segment. Jericho will get DQ'd quickly. The Legends and Rourke will just beat him up. That's basically all it's going to consist of for 5-10 minutes. Whether the crowd cheers or boos horribly, I cannot say, but that's how it's going to happen.
I don't think they would, put it to you this way, I don't think they would do that. I really don't think they would do that. Because they're building this up to something bigger than it is. Okay? And if they do it for a glorified segment of 5 minutes, that is just going to kill Jericho's heat like you don't want to know.
Honestly, Jericho has to go over here. He's got to go over against the Legends.
Exactly. He wins the match, and then Warwick beats him up.
That way everybody wins, which is still shit. All right, let's move on.
All right, there's someone else that wanted to say something.
Oh, go ahead, Carl.
Thank you for nothing. Okay.
I said it's pretty apropos.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
No, Carl, okay. Seriously. It was just an absolute clusterfuck. It's just an absolute cluster. You know, I don't get it. I don't get why they didn't, you know, seal the deal right away or something to that effect, you know? I just don't get it. But go on. I'm sorry, Rob.
All right, let's talk about the Just Desserts for the creative team, a.k.a. the idiots behind all of this. Ready?
Yeah, okay.
From Wrestling Observer Newsletter, creative team morale went from bad to worse this past week. Gee, can't imagine why. After the TV shoot in Jacksonville on March 9th, creative team was told to head to Boca Raton, where Vince has his multi-million dollar penthouse combo because Vince was spending the week there. After everyone checked in for what they were told would be the big meetings to finalize the next few weeks of TV and the direction of WrestleMania, and perhaps the main components of the draft, Brian Gewirtz and Michael P.S. Hayes were told on Wednesday by phone that Vince will not be taking any meetings this week and that the team should return to Stamford, hold internal meetings, and come up with multiple opinions on their own. They were told that Stephanie would be meeting via teleconference with them, hear all the opinions, and hear all the options, And she acted frustrated with the situation with Vince as well. When the meetings were over, a list of WrestleMania and all the next few weeks of TV main events, big picture angles, storyline options, and suggestions were then given to Vince in Florida. So it looks like they're being herded around from Boca Raton all the way to Stanford.
So how do you call it just desserts, though? That isn't just desserts. That's just stupidity.
It's the WWE creative team. They haven't come up with anything creative since when was Evolution
20.
Again?
No, WrestleMania 20.
No, that was Evolution was around in WrestleMania 20.
No, but I don't think they've had a peak since then. But that's not just the search. That's just Vince being Vince. Okay, they haven't had a coherent plan for this build. It shows. Raw ratings are down, not up. Okay?
After the spark they had for the past 4 months, what did they pull, like a 3.6?
Yeah.
After the few past weeks, they had like fours?
Yeah. Exactly. And you want to know why that is? People don't like the card. Triple H Orton is boring. Cena Edge Big Show is boring. I mean, look at it this way. Cena is your money man, right? Right?
Yep.
Cena is your guy.
Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time he main evented a WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen?
23.
Singly, I meant.
23.
And what happened, ladies and gentlemen? He got booed out of Ford Field.
Now, even though you cheered when you saw the Shelby GT.
Well, yeah, but hey, the Shelby GT was better than
in the match.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the better main event match was Undertaker Batista, by far. Okay.
And what was it at 9 o'clock?
It was in the second hour. Yeah. Okay. But I'm saying to you, they do not trust John Cena one-on-one. And you want to know why? He is not liked by anyone over the age of puberty.
I didn't know puberty was an age.
Well, you know what I meant. 12. Okay. He is.
Sorry, Jason. I had to pull your leg there a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
He cannot be trusted to carry a main event in WrestleMania.
They tried that in 22, I believe, with Trips.
Right.
The crowd was, what, almost dead after that match?
Right.
Then you had WrestleMania 21. He was part of a double main event.
Where he took the bout from JBL.
JBL, but was not technically main event material. WrestleMania 20, I think that was his first WrestleMania.
That was his first WrestleMania.
Opened.
He
opened
and he
opened and he was way over.
He was way over because he, you know, because he was, and also he FU'd the Big Show.
Yeah.
With pure muscle, by the way. I was there live. He's a beast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is, he is not over.
Not anymore, at least.
Nope.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
How would you guys like to throw some stuff in the dumpster? A la Scott Hall on the WCW TV title.
What's up?
We're going to do some Room 101, ladies and gentlemen.
Did anything important happen on TNA?
I only caught like the last half hour of it because I was watching Hell's Kitchen.
Well, I'm just asking, did I? You know,
no.
Yes, one big match made for lockdown is 3D and
yes.
Beer Money to unify the IWGP and TNA tag team titles.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and we also have a unification bout on ECW this week, but we'll get to that later.
No, WrestleMania.
That's the Mania.
Yeah, but it was, yes, but it was announced on ECW this week.
Oh.
But which we'll get to when Nikki gets here.
And I love that idea of the unification of the tag team titles, to be honest with you. I love that idea.
I do too, and I wish they would have I wish they would unify the other belts too. I really do. I think this other champions is just BS, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So yeah.
Well, Carl, since you're newest to the here, why don't you start with your pick?
If y'all ready for it. Think back to 2000 and when the WCW was slowing dying. I go back to a Thunder episode. Mark Patton was getting a little pissed off at Gene Okerlund. So this is what happens. We get them in a freaking tag team match. Canyon on the side of Madden and Buff Bagwell on the side of Okerlund.
Ouch. You guys discuss. You gotta take this call.
All right. All right. Well, go on.
Yeah, go on. Well, I don't know if this reminds you of the. Of course, this is not the first time he had a tag match.
Who, Madden or Okerlund?
Okerlund. You remember back in 1985, he had one with Hogan against Mr. Fuji. If y'all remember that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my pick because that was pretty bad.
I agree with him that it should go in. Though I will say, at least here, Oakland had pants on.
Oh God!
We have another call. Caller, hello.
Hey.
Who is this?
This is Danny from Brooklyn.
Okay, welcome.
Hey,
welcome
how you doing? I hear you talking
right.
About old-time wrestling, right?
Not old-time, just wrestling.
All right, did you guys used to watch it in the 80s and the 90s?
I was born in the 80s, and I liked quite a bit of it.
Do you guys remember they used to have the guys that would lose every week, like Moondog Spot, FD Delivery Jones? You don't really see those guys anymore. You remember Iron Mike Sharp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, he would be like, get in the ring, and he'd be like, ah!
That actually sounds like Iron Mike Sharp.
Oh, thanks, man. And you remember you guys talking about Lord Alfred Hayes? Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay. Dang. Cool, but
yeah.
you're sort of kind of ruining the flow here a little bit. We're actually doing
a lot. Yeah, I get that a lot.
We're actually talking about Mean Gene Okerlund wrestling.
Oh, he was great with the tights.
Okay,
when Mean Gene used
Robert,
to actually wrestle.
Excuse me.
By the way, I don't know what was more homo. I don't know what, to be honest, not to pry into that. Oh, good. He's gone. Moving on.
Okay. Very bad.
Anyway.
To
finish. And ladies and gentlemen, if you watch The Nostalgia Critic, that was our big-lipped alligator moment. Or, as I like to call it... Mean Gene Wrestling, he did wrestle before in 1985, where at least he had, you know, better opponents.
Mr. Fuji,
and I believe it was George the Animal Steel.
Yeah, George Steel. Of course, back then he had the tights, but in 2000 he had sweatpants and a damn headband on.
Yeah, boy.
So that's why that one right there is my pick.
I believe, did someone pull the handle a little early?
Say that again.
Did someone pull the handle a little early?
No.
I think you should, because that's pretty bad.
Well, to be honest, I saw that match. At least they kept the interaction between Okerlund and Madden to a minimum. However, to be honest, if you want to see Mark Madden get beat up legitimately, just watch the first Nitro of Bischoff and Russo.
Oh,
that moment made me a fan of Tank Abbott.
Oh,
I have that.
Yeah,
well,
I know. You gave it to me, Carl.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, along with other 2000 Nitros.
And including the infamous Thunder.
Oh, yeah, that too. Call it for me, please, Ron.
Oh, where are we again? Yeah, David Arquette winning the belt. Carl has that episode and he gave it to me.
David Arquette has won the world title.
But seriously, gots to go. Gots to go. Thank you.
Done.
May I put my candidate up, please?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is a tactic that TNA is doing that I really don't believe they should be doing. And that is keeping TNA house show prices incredibly high. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I did a search, as a matter of fact, for a house show next month in Columbus, in Nikki's hometown. How much do you think the first two rows at ringside are?
$80?
Try 50. Still high, don't you think?
Say that again?
50, 50.
Oh.
Okay. Still
for
pretty high.
For a TNA house show, first two rows, $50 per seat.
Right. Okay. The third to nine rows are $35. Everything else is 20. Okay.
For a house show, for the number two brand, $20 for a house show ticket.
However,
I don't know it's not that bad.
However, if you want to increase your fan base, instead of, say, charging 50, 35, and 20, you should be charging 25, 15, and 10 and getting people there. When I went to the last house show in Atlantic City, Ringside Asbury Park, New Jersey, ringside seats were $75. Okay? Nuts. Insane. TNA should be building their house show base by cutting prices, not keeping them high. That's my nomination.
Jason, what I'm going to say is if they do cut their prices, I think it can increase spending. Because I think with the money that they save on the prices for the gate, they'll also be able to spend on, like, DVDs that they'll have on sale, shirts that they have on sale,
right.
Autographs for, you know, like, the big stars that they have there, like AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Sting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, $50 for the first two rows for any wrestling show, which is the big two,
mm-hmm.
WWE or TNA, that's actually, for a house show, that's actually pretty good.
All right. I still think it's too high.
I'm trying to see how much it's costing for my city. It's coming in two Fridays from now.
Okay. Oh, you're looking at Ticket Bastard?
Yeah, Ticket Bastard. You're right.
Ticket Bastard, yes.
Yeah, Ticket Bastard.
I'll let you know in a second.
All right.
Meanwhile,
what do you
Vienna
think?
Has two spots.
What do you say, VRM?
Vienna's got two shots and a chance to win against Ohio State.
You know what I think of when I see Ohio State? A very, very overrated football team.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
And Jason, you're right. It's 20, 35, and 50.
Oh, over there.
Okay.
And military student is 15 and 30. Family discount, 16 and 31, a minimum of 4.
Okay. It's not bad, but, you know, don't you think it just should be a little less?
Less.
To especially in the economic conditions that they're in?
Yeah.
A little less is right. And, Nikki, can we get your take on the situation?
I didn't hear the question.
Ah, yes. Hello, my friend.
All right.
How y'all doing? I'm sorry I'm so late.
And
okay.
We have another caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, who's this?
My name's Mike. I'm calling from New Jersey, actually. I'm just tuning in right now. Unfortunately, I just see you have 12 minutes left. But I saw in your on your profile you were talking about the Jericho Legends match. Is it too late to get?
No, go ahead. No, that is awesome.
Come on,
bring it in.
Oh, all right. Well, I got to be honest with you. This seems to me like it's a case of a big buildup with a major letdown, unless they're really going to surprise us. Ricky Steamboat's my favorite wrestler ever. And I thought to myself, if I could see him wrestle one more time, I would die happy. And then I see where they're going with this, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe it'd be better if I never saw him wrestle. The little ankle tackle of Jericho, and then, I mean, it just looked like a bunch of old women attacking Jericho.
Oh, wow.
And I say that with the utmost, I have the utmost reverence for these men in my heart. But it was like, well, you know what? Maybe they should just stick to being in Legends of WrestleMania, the video game.
You know?
And I don't know where they're going. I see them, you know, getting their signature moves on him. Maybe, you know, he goes out, he takes a swing at Mickey Rourke, Ricky Rourke slaps him, he goes back into the ring, and then we're going to hear the glass break, a Stone Cold Stunner, 1, 2, 3, you know, and that'll be kind of cool. But they missed the boat, or they just if after the four guys had gone out to the ring on Raw, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If they're in Texas, I'm just like break the glass, break.
You're absolutely right, and let me just tell you something. Creative missed the boat big time on this one. We're all in agreement here. Somehow, either Mickey Rourke's price didn't get paid, his agent didn't want to do it. Something went wrong here.
Yeah, definitely.
Nikki, what do you
think? I think Mark's still bitter after losing to Robert Downey Jr.
I think what happened is that Rourke let the cat out of the bag way too soon.
Yeah.
He said something about it before the Oscars, which kind of screwed everything up. And then everybody panicked, like, oh, God, it's wrestling. Don't talk about wrestling, even though that's the movie you just did. Oh, that's going to kill your chances at winning an Oscar. We better not do it. So maybe they were right at the beginning that they dropped it that soon, which sucks because that was really one of the very few answers I would accept. Not being an Austin fan, personally. And everybody knows, you know, all the guys here at North American Wrestling Connection, how much I love Austin. The fucking Hall of Fame. What the fuck? Nobody else going into the Hall of Fame is getting a new T-shirt except Austin.
Okay, but go on. Calm down, Nick.
Okay.
Calm down, please.
Topic.
Settle down, please. Okay. I got to tell Jason his TNA thing isn't going in.
Anyway, so my,
sorry,
you know, personally, all I'm saying is that, you know, I think the whole thing fell apart when Mickey Rourke opened his big mouth and started taunting Jericho before the Oscars and could have ruined everything right then and there.
Wow. Okay. So you're blaming Mickey Rourke on this.
Sadly, I think somebody panicked when he started talking about this because, you know, they said, then, because you remember how everybody tried to shut him off, saying, look, don't talk about that until after the Oscars?
Not really.
Then somebody got soured on it at that point. So, you know, I might be wrong, but that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys, for taking the call. I actually was nervous about calling, and then I heard the Iron Mike Sharp guy, and I was like, if he can do it, I think I'm calling. It's a good listen. I'll keep tuning
yeah.
in.
You're calling any time, by the way.
Yes, please. Jason, unfortunately for you, the TNA house prices, while they might be a bit high, they still aren't high enough to justify going into room 101. So what we got for you is a ticket stub for the Asbury Park, New Jersey house show that you attended. Here you go.
Oh, wow.
And since Nikki's glorious arrival, Nikki, why don't you set the tone?
Oh, for what I want to throw in?
Yeah.
Okay. My candidate for Room 101 this time around is a gentleman who has almost surpassed Braden Walker in his brevity of career. His glorious return to the WWE that lasted exactly one match. I'm looking at you, Mr. Tyson Tomko, showing up not only injured and out of shape, but you didn't bother to tell anybody you were injured, and I bet you might still have a job right now if you had actually said something.
This is kind of hard for me because I think both sides fumbled on this one. Because normally, if you're in any sport, if you're in any wrestling organization, especially the big three, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or even MMA for that matter, they tell you, go get checked, go to a doctor, come back with a physical.
Mm-hmm.
Neither side did it. So, Tomko is not completely to blame for this one.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is, because he did not say anything. And the fact that he had that time off from TNA to go get his ass back in shape, and if he was hurt, to say, look, I'm hurt, I need a couple more months, let me rehab, let me get myself together, and then have him come out right after WrestleMania, ready to go.
I mean, put it to you this way. If somebody is failing in school, okay, do you, as a parent, say, you know, oh, it's my fault for not hiring a tutor? No. It's you have to do the work. Tyson Tomko needed, I mean, when you couldn't take a snap mare correctly, which was the alleged thing that happened.
Is that right, Nikki? I think you were there.
I was at the show, and he blew up real quick. I mean, he didn't look bad, but he didn't look great because but he blew up real quick. It wasn't a pretty match. And it was a real head-scratcher. I mean, everybody was happy to see him. Everybody was glad to see him back, so he got a decent reaction. But taking the match in a vacuum, it was almost as bad as the Kazarni MVP match.
Oh, yes. And I was there for that one.
Nikki, I think the Kazarni MVP match was, I think that was much worse.
The fact that it got a Conway pop was bad enough.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying that.
I think Rob Conway would have got a bigger pop than that.
Probably. I'm just saying that from a technical perspective, the Tomko Dark match was not very good at all. And it's a good thing that it is not being shown anywhere.
Okay.
It's in the WWE vault, kind of like with all the Blonde Bitch Project vignettes and Missy's Manor.
Oh, jeez.
By the way, I want to see those. I want 24/7's got to have a what were we thinking month. And they got to show King of the Ring 95.
Okay.
They got to show the WCW Great American Bash 91.
Okay.
And they got to show December 2 disaster again.
Oh, God, no.
Like I said, what were we thinking? And for shorties, like some of the worst stuff, you know, have Mantar, Abe Knuckleball Schwartz, Missy's Manor.
The Goon.
The Goon.
Okay, Rob, I mean to stop. We need to do, we got 4 minutes left before we go to the archives, so let's. Just to let you know, on the archive, we will be talking with the WrestleMania 25 card as we have it right now. Because,
okay, so.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that you, VRM?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you guys think?
It's a dark match. Both sides fumbled on this one.
I disagree, but you're the judge.
I'm not going to put Tomko's second short run into Room 101 for two reasons. One, this was kept into a dark match and was never aired on TV. If it was on TV, I would agree with you. The second point of it all is Bryn Walker had two matches to fail. Kazarni had one match to fail. Tomko didn't get any reasons to fail. So I'm not going to put Tomko's aborted second run into Room 101. I'm not going to put it in.
All right.
VRM?
Okay. Here's going to be a first. I'm going to be putting in a video game.
Oh, good grief.
And no, it's not TNA Impact.
Why not? That needs to go in right away.
Oh, it's got... I already did a review on that one. Carl, we need to get Tyler on the show next week to talk about that game. He actually bought that game. I played it at a friend's house, and I say it sucked.
What a doofus.
Okay, in 10 or 15 years, the angry video game nerd needs to review the living hell out of it.
Okay.
Let me say this. You're going to be on some serious acid to go through that game.
What game are we talking here?
The TNA game.
Oh, TNA
Impact.
All right, well, that's not what I want to put in. What I want to put in, I think we're going to have to wait for the archives.
Yes, you are going to have to wait for the archives because we are running out of time. I'd like for all of you to tune in to the archives. We will be running down the WrestleMania 25 card as is, and we'll have many good reasons on why most of us are not going to watch. And also, tune in next week. We will be talking more WWE and TNA stuff, maybe some Ring of Honor stuff if we get around to it.
Yes.
But for VRM, for Nikki Heyman, Carl Chenier, the Cuckoo Clock, Jason Block, according to Marianne Curran, this is Robert Seidelman speaking. Alfonso Ribeiro, oh, God. He is such a card. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Right. Are we in archives?
We are officially in archives. And, Jason, you've seen the new commercials for Catch-21, right? The new set?
No, I have not.
The logo changed. The set got a little bit slicker. They added an on-air audience.
Okay.
Aesthetically, it looks better. I still don't like Alfonso's hosting.
Okay. Well, that's going to be April 6th, if I may ask. April 6th, that debuts along with the new version of the new League Wide game, which is going to be phenomenal, by the way. I've seen some tapings of that.
You've seen some tapings of it. To be honest, I'm not that excited about it. To me, Carney just annoys me. If I heard correctly in the commercials, are they using the old theme?
I think so. Not sure. But anyway,
Old theme in the background for the commercials. I'm not quite so sure. I might have to ask Alex.
Okay.
Alex Davis at buzzerblog.com.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Rob. VRM, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, in 2003, THQ decided to stay with WWE but start down a new leaf. A leaf which, quite frankly, did their best to imitate Mario Kart, but failed. With the assistance of Pacific Coast Power and Light, THQ gave the world WWE Crush Hour.
What? Now, I'm going to look this up. Hold on.
Jason,
I have this game.
I'm sorry?
I have this game.
Oh, okay. So tell us about it then.
Okay.
You're the only one.
It's first of all, based on a
Twisted Metal.
It's a steel of Twisted Metal taken with a bunch of guys who don't know a whole lot about WWE continuity. I will say that. Where essentially all of the wrestlers are given custom vehicles full of weapons and get to blow the shit out of each other.
Triple H has the Twisty Rocket.
They should keep...
Now, admittedly, the commentary is goofy as hell. But it did resolve a continuity issue from television. We got to see Edge's shampoo commercial. It is in there. The shampoo commercial he won at WrestleMania 18 when he fought Booker T for it.
Oh, that was Test.
Huh?
That was Test who had the shampoo commercial.
No, it was Edge. He beat Booker T.
Edge beat Booker T for the shampoo commercial, and the commercial is actually on Crush Hour. Because the overlying story is that Vince McMahon has taken over all forms of entertainment. So now the wrestlers are doing all kinds of other crazy crap. But mainly the game is based on this Twisted Metal thing, where all the guys have different types of vehicles. RVD has like a four-wheel ATV, Big Show's in a rig or a steamroller. They had... Kane was in it, Undertaker was in it. They had like 20 different superstars. Of course, there's all kinds of, you pick up power-ups, you get to do damage to everybody else. And they set up matches where you have a goal to achieve. You got to blow up somebody so many times. You have to pick up stuff on the map. You have to get to certain areas on the map. I thought it was really fun, although admittedly, continuity-wise, it was a disaster. We had Matt running around in his D1 t-shirt. Kane still had his full mask. Or some of the other goofy stuff.
The full mask, not the cut off at the mouth, the full mask?
Yeah, he had a full mask. There was some music stuff that was messed up on it. And Jim Ross doing the commentary on it does make you giggle. I will say that. I personally couldn't throw it in there because I had a lot of fun with the game. But, Darren, this is all you, man.
Yeah, for real, also, it was released on PS2 and GameCube. It was originally going to go to a Xbox, but the port quickly. Bunch of bad reviews I've seen. IGN didn't give it so much as a bad review. I think they gave it a 6.2, I think.
Ouch.
And,
I played Crush Hour as well.
It's called Crush Hour or Rush Hour?
Crush.
Rush.
Okay.
And
I played this game, and it was mediocre, to say the least.
Well,
commentary was funny, but if I want to play Twisted Metal, I'll play Twisted Metal. And somebody made a Mario Kart reference. If I'm going to play Mario Kart, I'll borrow Mario Kart Double Dash for the GameCube, and I'll play that instead of Crush Hour.
Agreed.
Wow, but this is a game I don't even remember.
I have it. I enjoyed it. You know, I'm going to be the minority voice in here.
I'm going to throw it in, and I'd also like to point out that I'm throwing it on storyline alone. Vince wants to control the entire media.
All of TV.
All
of
TV?
All TV, all forms of entertainment.
Well, I have a little checklist here. Football failed. Bodybuilding failed. Movies failed twice. Music. The original CD failed.
Mm-hmm. Football.
Football.
We don't
I already
to
got
go
football. And taste in outfits from 1989 on. Failed.
Yeah, I knew I was losing that one.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Robert Seidelman's epic fail of the evening.
Brought to you by IsoPro. No, I'm sorry. IsoPro.
And speaking of flaming out, I had the Human Torch match.
The Human Torch match?
WCF.
Great American Bash 2000. Thing versus Vampiro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I hated this one.
And then who was supposed to... And Vampiro got set on fire, right?
Nope. Thing did.
Oh, joy.
But it wasn't Thing.
I was going to say, wasn't that one of the stunt double matches?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I might actually make a trek to New York City, just to totally. When you're done with this, I have an interesting thing because Ring of Honor is going to the Hammerstein Ballroom tomorrow night, and I will tell you the lineup if you're interested. Once you're done,
You're actually going to Ring of Honor Saturday?
I might be. I might. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'd
say go. That sounds like fun.
Definitely go.
Do you want to hear the lineup?
Sure.
Sure.
Bobby Dempsey versus a mystery opponent. Eric Stevens and Roderick Strong versus Kenny King and Rhett Titus, who, by the way, I love. I think Rhett Titus is really good.
The thrust
sure
is a must.
Make sure you start a hepatitis chant.
Yeah. D'Lo Brown versus Jay Briscoe.
Oh!
Jerry Lynn versus Mike Quackenbush.
Yay!
Now that's going to be a great match.
That one I won't watch.
Brent Albright versus Claudio Castagnoli.
Hey!
Hey! Oh, we drove nuts with that.
Brian Danielson in a mystery partner versus Bison Smith in a mystery partner.
Okay.
Versus who in a mystery opponent?
Bison Smith is not anything to write home about.
No.
Smith's mystery partner, John Cena.
Oh.
and he'll get booed out of the Hammerstein Ballroom again.
Tyler Black and Necro Butcher and Delirious versus Austin Aries, Jimmy Jacobs, and Brody Lee in an Ultimate Endurance bout.
My God, he left in the building.
Ring of Honor Tag Champs, Kevin Steen and El Generico versus the American Wolves. And Nigel McGuinness, the Ring of Honor champion, versus Noah GHA Junior Heavyweight Champion Kenta. I believe that's Kenta Kobashi, if I'm not mistaken.
That tag match, Jason, is going to blow your mind. They did it in Indianapolis. It was awesome.
Uh-huh.
That tag match will blow your mind. It's just going to be the... That one stole the bloody show. We were to the point where we just yelled, please don't stop. Please don't stop. Because it was that good of a match.
Okay.
By the way, Jason, I have some Lizard Man folklore for you.
Some what?
Lizard Man folklore for you.
Okay.
This is true. Anybody who chews on the tassels of the Lizard Man, a.k.a. Delirious, he or she will be impregnated with their baby.
Okay.
Somebody call D2 and tell him that he's pregnant.
I did that on the WrestleCraft forums.
I'm actually trying to go to ringofhonorwrestling.com to see what the ticket prices are if they're available.
How much did you pay for your tickets, Nikki? About $30?
All told, it was $40. I got a free ticket, then I paid an extra $20 to get my floor seat. Hang on a second, guys.
But yeah, that sounds like a damn.
That's a great card, Jason.
Yeah, I know.
If you have to spend like 50 TNA floor prices for that show, it'd be well worth it.
Yeah, maybe. But
I'd be more.
Well, like I said, I definitely something I might check out. But I've actually never seen a Ring of Honor show. Well, actually, I've seen one Ring of Honor show live. And that was the show before One Night Stand 1, and it was just nutty.
Wait a minute. One before One Night Stand 1?
Yes.
Wasn't that Joe Punk 3?
I think so, yes.
Oh, wow.
That
was an insane match. That was just a phenomenal match.
Yes, it was.
Oh, here. Well, you're checking. Sorry about the noise.
Okay. So, all right. So, let us run down the WrestleMania 25 card.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah,
I don't want to go through that torture.
Nobody else is going to see it. Don't. Because I seem to be the only person in NAWC that's actually going to see it. If you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. Like,
no, I was meant to be joking, Nikki.
Before we run this down, can I just throw one thing in the room real quick?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know that much about it, except when I saw it, I was like, what the hell's going on? It was that graveyard match with Vampiro and the Kiss Demon. That was just stupid.
Very double for Vampiro.
That it was.
That made no sense whatsoever. So, yeah, that's going in, even though I lost the sound. Now we're done with room 101.
All right. So, here's the deal.
Let's run it down.
Okay. Let's start with the matches that I think that are going to be really, really good. And first of all, I am not saying that the card is total shit, okay? Before I say that, and Nikki, I'm not. You know me. We've discussed this every day this week.
Right? I know. It's a common argument that I've run into and has made me walk away from two message boards. If you think it sucks and you're not watching, don't talk about it. Don't watch it. Go away.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just I understand, but don't you think that as we are, that we can convince people one way or another? That's all I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not trying to dissuade. I'm just trying to make a balance. That's all.
Fair enough. I just, you know, I know you're not terribly keen about the card, and you probably think I'm crazy, but I'm actually getting it.
Because I believe that from a value to money perspective, $54 is not it for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's all.
I hear you. That's why you watch it with friends.
Yeah, I understand.
So first of all,
Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker is going to be good. Those two are going to do very, very, very well together. We know, and the bill for this one has been really, really good. That one's not bad. Guys, you all agree, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Nikki, what's your opinion about this, the match and this build? Nikki?
I'm sorry?
What is your opinion about the Michaels Undertaker build?
I think it's amazing. I like the idea that, you know, Shawn has stepped up, essentially saying, dude, I've seen all this already. I'm not afraid of you, man, because, you know, you may never have lost at WrestleMania, but you've never been able to beat me. So if I'm your one person, Undertaker, are you going to break that rule just to keep your streak intact? That's where it gets interesting.
Yep. Okay. Next other good match, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Extreme Rules match.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's Extreme Rules now?
It is Extreme Rules now, which means you're going to see a lot of plunder, and you bet your ass you're going to see some ladders in there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is the first time on the show that we actually had a Dusty Rhodes word on the show, plunder.
Oh, no.
No, but
plunder! He brought plunder to the ring!
Going to the pay window.
So, again, the build for this was really good, and I think they're going to just come together with this and just going to be really, really good on this one.
I bet you dollars to donuts that would be
alert.
Match of the night.
Bracket buster alert, Wisconsin 61, Florida State 59, NOT.
Gotcha. Call that.
Uh-oh.
What's that? Wait. I heard Florida State.
Wisconsin won?
61-59, NOT.
Damn it. Okay.
Hey, it didn't bust my bracket. Gotcha.
Hey.
Anyway.
Ohio State's in two overtimes right now.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Now, interesting article about Money in the Bank, which is the third match in the card that I think is going to be really good. And the participants are the following.
Uh-oh.
Kofi Kingston, Kane.
Oh!
Oh, my God!
Hold on, Jason.
What?
Sienna just made a three-pointer, 74-72.
Yeah,
3.9.
Yeah, and I had, yes, I did, and I had Sienna over Ohio State, so, nah. What a shot. Anyway, here's the deal. I heard an interesting article on PWInsider.com. First of all, the ECW title is not going to be defended at WrestleMania at all. They feel that Swagger is not ready for prime time.
And to be honest, they're right.
Yep.
He's not ready.
Oh.
He's still green.
Yep. The first person who was supposed to be Money in the Bank was not Mark Henry. It was The Big Show, believe it or not. And they wanted The Big Show to win. The second guy was R-Truth. I don't know what happened, but they gave the spot to Shelton Benjamin. The third guy, believe it or not, was Tommy Dreamer.
See, that
he's not
one,
even on
that
the card.
That one would have made sense, because I know exactly what they would have done with it, too.
Yep, but for some reason, somebody didn't like him up there, but those are the three people who were going to be in Money in the Bank. I still think Money in the Bank is going to be a really good match, and that's cool. Then we get to the matches that really, okay,
I'd like to, for the meh match, JBL versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah,
this match would have been good 3 years ago, and it was good 3 years ago. Going on to their Judgment Day match.
Oh, here we go.
The only good thing about this match,
here we go. Hold on.
Jenna wins! Here I got it.
Bang! Beautiful. Anyway, so
Ohio
yeah.
State goes down in a blaze of shame.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But yes, JBL Rey Mysterio, Matt, this was just booked. It seemed like it was booked on the fly.
The only good thing about this match is the Intercontinental Championship will at least be defended for the first time since 2002. Otherwise,
18, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That yeah, okay. Now, a meh match, believe it or not, is the three-way, which we discussed earlier, which was the triple threat between John Cena, Big Show, and Edge. Nikki and I had a major discussion about this week, and we discussed this earlier in the regular show. John Cena has not main evented singly a WrestleMania event since WrestleMania 23. I don't think the powers that be trust him to hold a match, although I will say the bill for it, even though it's been a little on the comedy gaga side, has been interesting.
They don't trust the fans is what it is.
Yeah.
Nikki, what do you think?
Well, like I said, you know, I think John Cena did screw up in WrestleMania 23. I will give them that. Because his match with Shawn Michaels, both of them can do better. I was at the show. I was horribly underwhelmed with that match. Batista and Undertaker should have main evented. But that's beside the point.
By the way, Nikki, I apologize. The Cena-Michaels 60-minute match sort of made up for that in a big way.
I agree. 100% agree with you.
Okay.
Now, the reason that I think they put this triple threat together is to make sure that somebody's going to get booed more than Cena. Because that seems to be the hardship they're having right now, because you don't know if you're going to get an arena full of smarts. That's just going to boo Cena into oblivion. Edge is on the verge of a face turn. I am still convinced of that. Big Show, if he starts getting really comedic, to get some face pops. That's not the goal of this match. John Cena is supposed to be the only face out there right now. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You got some.
I think the creative team has some splaining to do.
Yes, they do.
yeah, creative got some explaining to do.
Exactly. And Triple H Orton has been
done over and over and over again.
Do we really? Yeah.
Hey, I at least enjoy the build up to this one.
Blame Batista, anyway.
Yeah. That, you know what? Again, you're right. Because if this would have happened, we would have had Cena Batista 2, and Triple H would have been battling Edge.
Right. And that's money. Those two matches are money.
Yeah.
You know, I know you guys, you know, some people here aren't fans of Batista, and I know everybody here is fairly lukewarm on Cena, but it would have been a fresh match, even though we did it at SummerSlam and it was decent.
No, Cena Batista, honestly speaking, was a damn good match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, it was a damn good match, and it would, you know, would have been great. You know?
And now we get to the match, which pretty much makes you say, did I really just watch that?
Mm-hmm. What's that one?
The 25 Diva Battle Royal.
it could be interesting.
I look at it as at least all the gals are getting some time, and it's not a Playboy Lumberjill match.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to Playboy this year. Hooray. That's me, though. And the fact that I got the good news today, since I hadn't seen the new graphic, that Victoria's working it. I understand Trish is working it. Who else are the other bonus divas?
I think Sunny is one of them.
Yeah, Sunny's working it.
Awesome.
She's actually in training right now.
When she showed up at Raw 15, I think it was, she looked awesome.
Yeah, she looked really good.
So,
I think her demons have been fought, and she's winning, if not won.
As a matter of fact, I know her demons are winning. Not her demons are winning. She's beating them very well. She's in shape. She's clean. She is occasionally taking bookings, and she looks really good. Trust me on this one.
More power to her.
You know.
Yes.
I hope that's, you know, cool. You know, I hope she's all right. You know.
I hope it's like the place for her then.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the divas that I would love to have seen Lita, but you never know. But we'll see.
Tori Wilson.
Exactly.
Was she going to be there, or did she turn it down?
I know Wendy Richter turned it down.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, I think she's probably still got a bitter taste in her mouth from the that screw job that happened 20 years
That's
ago.
That's the original screw job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's one of those things where, meh, okay. What else? What other matter? The tag team unification bout.
Yes.
That's going to be
okay.
That's going to be a really good one.
That's going to be a good one, too.
That's going to be a fun match. Just not up for unifying the belt, but I'm in the minority on that one.
You don't like the unification of the belt?
No. Because after WrestleMania, we can start building a tag team divisions worthy on the two brands. If you have one set of belts and you bounce champions across three shows, while they've been doing it of late, because Miz and Morrison just can't get enough of the spotlight. But you can't do that with everybody, because that just, you know, leaves them wide open for potential injuries. That means there's going to be, your champions are working 5 or 6 days a week. You can't keep that pace up for months. There's just no way. And there's some chance, if you're actually in the ring 5 or 6 days a week, you're one day off, you might be up at Stanford doing something for the magazine or doing a video, you know, doing a video for the website. You're not going to get time off. You can't do that. That's why they stopped it with the Undisputed Championship and split the A belt. And, you know, everybody says, oh, it's a brand split. Doesn't really exist right now. Right. It's going to get locked down 2 weeks after Mania when we do the draft. It's all over the place right now because all three brands are necessary to promote WrestleMania.
That is true.
And after WrestleMania, you know what we get? Superstars.
Yes, we do. But by the way, was that the last match so far?
Yeah, the last match we got so far. That means 8 matches total so far.
You need a couple more.
Yeah. What I would really... I don't know. What else do we put on here? I mean, quite conceivably, you can take out... I mean, who's not booked?
Well, they've already said the ECW title's not being defended, so never mind Swagger. Why don't we get a bunch of the ECW guys and have a number one contendership match that Tommy or Evan can win?
That might be your dark match.
Yeah.
We grab 6 or 7 guys to just have a big elimination scramble.
Well, no, think of it this way. The show's 4 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Undertaker Shawn Michaels is a half hour.
Yeah.
Triple H Orton is a half hour.
Sadly.
Okay,
yeah, no, Yes, with Triple H, with Orton, with the chin locks too. Okay. The triple threat is a half hour.
I'm gonna say 20 minutes.
It won't be as long.
Okay, 20 minutes. All right, that's 60-80 minutes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Divas match with all the introductions is gonna take about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 100 minutes. The Jericho work thing's gonna take about 20 minutes.
Ugh.
Unfortunately,
it might get shortened a bit too.
Okay.
About 10 minutes.
Okay. JBL Rey Mysterio is going to be 10. The tag match is going to be 10.
Right.
Money in the Bank is going to be a half hour or 20 minutes. So
probably 20. Yeah.
So we don't have time for more. Maybe one or two more matches.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have a Giants match. Maybe they could quickly throw in a Giants match.
Kozlov Umaga?
Kozlov Kali?
No, Kozlov Kali.
No, give me Kozlov Umaga. I want some work rate this match.
we do want work right there. But let me ask you now that we've discussed this, and not to say that my opinion is totally 100% changed, all right? But I will say that the percentage of good to bad matches is about 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was about 60-40, but looking at it, it's about 50-50, which is not bad from a WrestleMania perspective. Does it mean I'm going to go watch it? No. But I will say that it is a lot better than what I thought it was maybe a week ago or two.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I still think the Jericho War thing left a bad taste in my mouth. And
it
yes,
should. It's all fucked up.
Okay, so you don't disagree. All right.
I agree. It's all fucked up. I respect the legends, but this is not what you want to be doing with them. At Mania, I mean, yes, Rourke is as green as Finley's singlet. But Jericho is experienced enough to get a good match out of him. And even if they only go 7 or 8 minutes, it would still be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And have, Jericho and Rourke go 6 or 7 minutes. Rourke gets stuck in the wall and have one of those other three legends come down, swat Jericho. Rourke gets to do the Ram Jam and we're done.
Somebody remind me, what was the Ram Jam again?
It was pretty much a diving headbutt, but the way he had to set up his arm, I know he had to move him once he jumped because he had him up over his head, then you beat the horn. But then he'd have to bring his arms down to catch himself when he does the diving headbutt.
Okay.
But
I gotta watch the movie again.
But watch it. It is an amazing, amazing movie. I believe it comes out on DVD in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, next month actually.
And for us
game show geeks, Jason, Carl, American Gladiators season 1 out on DVD.
Ooh,
which American Gladiators?
No,
I'm saying was it the. I don't know which one, the Adam Lee version or the Hogan version?
Adam Lee, the good one.
And also, for those who have not seen it, or would like myself, I believe Slumdog Millionaire comes out on the 30th, or the 31st as well, in March.
That's nice.
I definitely want to pick that up. But, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
But
again.
Who's Lying coming out on DVD also?
Yep, yep, yep.
That infamous Richard Simmons episode.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
No, no, but okay. I just want to kind of steer it back for a sec. I mean, even though the WrestleMania card to me is about 50-50, I can understand why people would buy it. But do you think as a value, $64.95 for HD, $54.95 in regular definition, worth it or not?
If it wasn't worth it, why would I order it?
I'm sorry?
If it wasn't worth it, why would I order it?
No, I understand.
That's just a strange question, Jason. If I didn't think it was worth it, then I wouldn't buy it.
Okay, never mind.
$55 for Undertaker HBK alone is worth it to me.
Hmm.
But
okay.
That's just me.
If this was a $40 pay-per-view, like a few years ago, when this was $40, and regular pay-per-views were $30, and I know I'm talking way, way back, this would be a $40 pay-per-view in my eyes. But with
Rob, you got to go back further. To WrestleMania 20, webcast was $20.
I'm talking about last one I saw was 19.
Live, you mean?
Yeah.
So you have not bought a WrestleMania in 5 years, 6 years?
I have not bought a WrestleMania in 5 years.
Okay.
I bought DVDs, but...
Okay.
Actually, I think 22 was still... It was still $20 for the webcast. For the webcast.
Okay.
$20.
Let me switch the subject for a little bit, actually. Not so much as a value. We want to talk numbers here. We all know that WrestleMania 24 last year broke the million mark. So did WrestleMania 23. With the economy the way it is and the way it's booked, where do you see the numbers going, especially with the pay-per-view buy rates down about 20%? If that were the case, if the trend stays, Nikki, I said the numbers were what, 23%?
23%.
So let's say down 25%. Let's run it up.
Okay. To a quarter.
Do we see 750,000 buys?
No.
No.
Even though this is the event, but people might buy it against the 25th anniversary. The answer is no. I think they might be lucky if they get 750,000. But realistically, I think the only people buying the WrestleMania, buying the WWE pay-per-views now are the diehards and diehard wrestling fans and the diehard WrestleMania fans. To be honest, what I see them pulling is six. Here's my number. Doing some adding up. 675,000.
Nikki, what's your number?
I'm going to highball my original guess of it. No, I'm not. I'm going to say 650.
That's lower than mine.
Wow.
I changed. How much did I say last week?
700, but I'm still going to say 650. Wait till you get to me.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm gonna say 700,000.
I will too.
It's gonna fall somewhere between 650 and 700.
All right.
Okay, my original number was atrocious, but I've moved it up to at least 625 to 650.
And if doing some numbers here, financial numbers, let's say the split. Regular in HD is 30-70.
Uh-huh.
And that's 30%, high.
No,
that's
for
high.
HD.
I know, but isn't that high, though?
Yeah, that is kind of high.
Why don't you make it 80-20?
80-20? Okay, if I'm doing some adding up, we said it's been documented at 800,000 buys, they would lose 4 million. I am, if it does the average, everyone says that's about 650,000.
Jeff Hardy actually cross-bodied someone bigger than him.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had to say that.
It's going to hurt. You're looking at a loss of nearly 9 million.
Wow.
Oh.
Counters. And you know what that means?
A lot. That means that a lot of people are losing their jobs in April.
Mm-hmm. More cutting to come, folks.
Stand by for endeavors.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I mean, but look. I think Vince and the creative team are going to be in due for a shock. I think that the numbers are really going to be bad. I think they're expecting 800,000 internally.
Yeah.
I think they ain't going to get it.
No.
Here's, let me do worst case scenario. 650,000, the really worst case scenario I see them doing. 500,000 buys.
Okay.
That's what I said.
That's
wow.
Near 15 million loss.
Ouch.
That would be even worse.
That is worse. That's absolute worse, and I know that's not happening.
And you
but,
know what that would mean?
I bet you.
One of the brands would go away.
I'm sorry, that would mean what?
One of the brands
going
away. If it was that high.
I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I think it's going to be a lot worse than people think.
Can I be honest? If it does do what we said, it's going to lose 9 million. I can guarantee you. Everything's going to be cut back a bit. I can guarantee you can see that roster shaved by a quarter.
Yep.
Would superstars not happen at all?
No. They have a contract with them.
You can't for that. You can't stop that.
They have a legitimate contract. They have to honor that one-year contract.
Now, they might not do ECW.
No, that's going to go.
Yeah.
If they do anything, they're going to cut ECW, which might be a mercy killing. Because once Tommy Dreamer retires, there's really no reason to keep it active.
Right.
You're hearing that from a Heyman.
I'm with you on that. I mean, look. But let's say the news is what it is, okay? And let's play the scenario out.
And they lose 4 million?
No, that the buys are quarter down, 750,000.
Okay.
All right? Let's
if
play
it's 750,000, that's about $6 million down.
Okay.
To be honest, they would pretty much cut like 10 or 20 people. That is including.
Let me just play the scenario out for a second. Okay? What I mean is, the question is not what they would cut. The question is, why? Why do you think the buy rates are as down as they are?
Main reason is the economy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a luxury.
Okay.
Which is why I like TNA, TNA and what they're doing. They're not bumping up prices for their pay-per-views just because it's a big pay-per-view like Bound for Glory or Lockdown. It's still $30 for a pay-per-view. And let me give you this scenario, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a budget. You don't have that much to spend on a pay-per-view. You can only buy one pay-per-view a month. And you're on a tight budget. Would you rather spend the $30 on a TNA pay-per-view, knowing that it's a crapshoot on the quality of the pay-per-view? Or would you rather spend $40 on a WWE pay-per-view and you pretty much know what you're getting into with a WWE pay-per-view.
Or, even worse, you spend $45 on an MMA fight on UFC.
Now, you already know what you're getting your hands on for UFC pay-per-view, and plus, it's pretty much guaranteed that UFC will last through this. Didn't their last pay-per-view do, what, $750,000?
Heath Herring?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lesnar Couture. Yeah. My mistake.
Yeah.
Lesnar Couture did 1.5 million buys, almost something like that?
Oh,
it's up to 1.5 million?
Or was it just over a million?
That's pretty high.
Was it high? It was over a million, I know that much.
Yeah, over a million.
Okay,
yeah.
At $44.95 a pop.
That's good.
Yes. Lesnar Mir 2 in July is going to top that.
Oh,
because
you think
here's
so?
The gate for Lesnar Couture. 4.8 mil. That was the gate.
Oh, wow.
Holy cow. That was the live gate?
Yeah, but that's because the tickets to the house are $100.
That's true.
Ooh.
Because you pay out the ass when you go to a UFC show. That's why I don't think I'd ever go see one live.
But here's the thing about the UFC shows. You get quality.
You get 20 first round knockouts and maybe a couple of matches that actually make it to the second round. That doesn't sound quality to me. That sounds like you're paying for boxing, which I would never put. I would never give boxing a dime.
Mm-hmm.
If I want quality, that means I want these guys out there for a longer period of time. I want to actually see something happen. You know, 2 minutes and somebody gets knocked out. Big deal.
The question is, though, okay, so we know what to blame on the potential WrestleMania loss. Okay.
The economy, mismanaged booking.
Right.
Some of the stuff being thrown together really quickly. I mean, how much build up JBL Rey Mysterio's build up is, they only have like about a week now to sell this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then, but then, what does Vince and his ego blame?
The creative team?
Vince will blame his creative team, even though they're nothing more than a bunch of yes men under him, because he will never blame himself, despite the fact that he is supposed to be where the stops.
Out of the entire creative team, I see three people staying on that from that creative team.
Yeah, Vince, Steph, and.
No. Okay, four. Five. Vince, Steph, Dusty.
Johnny Ace.
He's not creative. He's not creative. Talent relations. Michael Hayes and Brian Gewirtz.
Right.
Those are the five that will stay. And plus, everyone else is mainly Hollywood writers, so they'll probably get rid of them.
Yeah.
I gotta disagree on one.
Who?
I think Michael Hayes is about done.
Oh.
Well, there's one guy they should hire, but, you know, Vince doesn't like him. Right, Nick?
And he doesn't like him so much that it's the story I heard recently, is that they're paying him to stay out of the business.
Oh. He's still being paid by WWE?
He might still be getting, Vince is essentially saying, I will pay you if you don't do anything in the wrestling business.
Jeez.
What a deal that is.
Wow.
That's a great deal.
Wow. He's getting the same deal
as no. Yes and no. Uncle Paul likes the, you know, can't, you know, needs the money because he's still got insane debt. However, you've taken his greatest love away. No wonder he's running around chasing chicks to find out if their boobs are real or fake.
The human puzzle.
Jim's the fuck.
I just came up with an idea.
No,
once
no,
his once his debts get repaid, you know what I would like to see him do?
That
was
for the 24/7 crowd, like me and you, Carl.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jason, if you get 24/7 or not.
I do not.
We see Gene Okerlund.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the 24/7 Legends of Wrestling. We have a special topic on hand tonight.
Uh-oh.
This time around, three letters.
Uh-oh.
ECW.
Yeah.
And in our panel tonight is considered to be the heartbeat of ECW.
Mm-hmm.
One of the legends of ECW, Tommy Dreamer. He wrestled in ECW for a short period of time, having a feud with Steve Corino, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Uh-oh.
Now, my other side right here, one of the huge detractors of ECW, Jerry the King Lawler. And as our special guest.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
One of the head honchos of ECW, the head creative guy of ECW, Paul Heyman.
What? Okay. That's okay. That's a fantasy pipe dream. Okay.
I know it's a fantasy pipe dream.
Okay.
What can only dream?
And you must be smoking Rob Van Dam's pipe.
Oh!
You think that's what's
going on? Hold it, Jason. Hold it.
I assume this is simply a pot joke.
Yes, it's a pot joke.
Oh. Mm.
It wasn't that. It was pot. Bong pipe. Not that pipe.
Sir, I don't...
Oh,
never mind. Don't play that.
All right, fine. Fine. But the deal is this. Heyman would be... I mean, look what Heyman did on SmackDown as the creative thing. He was...
Oh, wow.
I mean...
Say no more.
Do you remember the SmackDown 6?
I do.
The Guerreros, Mysterio, Edge, Chris Benoit, and Kurt Angle.
Correct.
Yep.
I guess in some cases you could call it the SmackDown 7.
With what? With who?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
that was must-watch TV.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was must-watch TV. And let me tell you something. If you check out some of Paul Heyman's shtick on SmackDown, and I mean some of his promos, unbelievable stuff. Paul Heyman is still one of the gods of the microphone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved his promo work. I loved him as GM. I loved him when he was managing Lesnar. Still one of the funniest promos that he ever did with Lesnar was the one backstage where he's giving him this huge pep talk, and Lesnar's sitting there doing curls with the lighting scaffold.
Yeah, that was classic.
And he's not breaking a sweat. And Paulie finishes, and Lesnar looks back at him and says, "That's why I pay you, Paul." And then throws the scaffold off the screen.
This was during his feud with Taker.
Yeah, I want this promo. It doesn't exist on YouTube. I want this damn promo. I can't find it. I can find the lifeguard tower thing he did when he was still general manager and he was dealing with Cena. I can find the wash your mouth out with soap match, which is still one of the funniest things that has happened to my dear poor uncle.
Chris?
I'll tell you what.
Because I hate to say it, that part where he goes, Chris? Was kind of funny.
It was hysterical. I know it's something that, you know, it was a humiliating thing for my poor uncle, but it was still the funniest thing in the world. On paper,
yeah.
It was crap. But I'll tell you what, it really worked on canvas.
And by the way, he was also great as a broadcaster with Jerry Lawler as well.
Jim Ross.
No, he worked with Jim Ross most of the time. And, JR, it's about time we got you some damn answers. Chills, my friend, chills.
Yes, exactly. And also, let me tell you something. When he invaded, I was there the day ECW invaded the Manhattan Center in 93. Was it 93?
97.
Oh, 97.
Wait, you were there, Jason?
I was there in the upper deck.
Holy cow!
I was there in the upper deck when... Look, I live in New York, the wrestling capital of the world, big boy. Let me tell you something. I have been to more historical events in New York. Triple H returning in 2002. Down, Nikki, down. What?
Nothing.
Did you say yay, evil doc?
Yes, I did say yay, evil doc.
Okay. I was there for the Stunner Heard Round the World in 1996 when Vince was stunned for the first time.
That was 97.
97, my apologies, okay. I was in New York again for the invasion angle. I was there.
2001.
Yep, I was there for when ECW returned to the Hammerstein Ballroom when Big Show faced Batista and there were chants like, change the channel.
We like it on Sci-Fi.
And thank you, Jesus, when the match was over.
And the deification of CM Punk on his debut.
I'm sorry?
The deification of CM Punk on his debut.
Oh, yes, at the Hammerstein. Yes, yes, yes.
And also Kurt Angle beating up the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yay.
That was an awesome match.
Like I said, I've seen... I was actually... My first house show was... Good God. 1908, when Macho Man was fighting DiBiase in a cage... In like 89, I think, when he was champ.
Had to be early 89.
And some kid tried to climb the cage to try and get in.
Was this Madison Square Garden?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that, guess what? That's going to be replaying on 24/7 soon.
Yeah.
I think next week. I think next month.
I was lucky enough.
What is?
MSG Network was a really cool thing in the 80s when you used to get to see sold-out live cards. They used to actually broadcast this stuff.
Until, like, what, 93?
Yeah, and then you had the MSG Classics and all that good stuff. But I'm telling you, New York has been a hotbed. But I will tell you, getting back, the WrestleMania buy rate is going to be real interesting. Now, let me ask you this, guys. Do you think, how much paper do you think there's going to be at the live event at Reliant?
How many paid tickets?
Yeah.
I'm at the WWE website. Tickets are still available.
Whoa.
That's kind of rare.
2 weeks to go to WrestleMania and there's tickets available?
Yes.
Now, that's not always an indication. WrestleMania 23, there were, when I went, we went digging around just for grins because I already had my tickets. I had an extra seat to sell.
Right.
I couldn't get face for it.
Okay.
I went to the broker sites. They weren't getting face for their tickets. Even the floor chair seats were selling under $750.
All right.
I sold my extra floor seat for 5 1/4 because that's all I could get.
Meaning, we'll put it to you this way. Will we see a sold-out crowd at Reliant? And by the way, I believe we're almost done.
We're almost out of time. I'm gonna say Reliant's gonna have some paper.
I think Reliant's going to have some paper, and I think Glendale's going to have a lot of paper next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Count on that.
There's ringside seats available?
What?
Somebody's on ticket crapper.
A few of those will be given away.
I wish I had $750 right now. How close?
Well, wow. This is great. This is awesome. This is great that we actually filled archive with actually good stuff.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're still going.
Glass will kick us off in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Next week, man. WrestleMania preview, right?
Nope. 2 weeks.
Yep, 2 weeks.
We got 2 weeks to go. Now, the 2 weeks is going to be the two-hour WrestleMania preview. Okay.
Yeah, Around the Horn, WrestleMania, Room 101.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And also, hey, Jason, Nikki, Carl, VRM,
yeah.
Fourth.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Nikki knows, but I'm going to be getting the HD box back, meaning I get all the HD channels.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I get Raw, ECW, and TNA Impact at Eastern Times.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Would any of you be interested in doing something I've done before and want to do again?
What's that?
Live commentary over a TNA show, a Raw, or an ECW show?
Ooh, yes, absolutely. I'd love to do it. We will definitely talk about it.
Yeah,
good.
We'll talk on that. I'm interested.
I get my HD box tomorrow.
Awesome.
Ooh.
Because if there's one thing, I mean, we've never done one for TNA. Me and Nikki have done one for Raw and ECW. And I think for the one Raw that we did, we did a hilarious parody of Raw.